happen to love Parshas Naso. Naso is Rosh B'nai Gershon, Gam Hein Levi Zolosam Levi Shecholosam. Naso is Rosh B'nai Gershon, is raise up the heads of B'nai Gershon. So Naso is two different meanings. Either number one, as I just said, raise up, you know, raising something up, elevation or something. Or Nisim also means what?
Princes. People in charge.
Princes. No, but it's
also
more than that.
President.
It's elevation and everything like that. But a Nisim also means clouds. Mm. Clouds are very different. They're all the way up. They look beautiful. They're white and they're really nice and fluffy and they look really comfortable. But the fact is, they're nothing. They dissipate in the air. There's nothing there. You blow on them, they're gone. There's nothing there. How do I know that? I've seen clouds before. You've seen clouds. They're called fogs. They're fogs. Fog. Did I say fog?
Yeah, you said fog.
That's because I'm from Chicago. I thought I was from New York, and I said fog. So I didn't. I was just trying to make sure that. Okay. Anyway. It's the exact same thing with leaders. Rosh B'nai Gershon, you want to raise them up. There are two different ways for a leader to be. Either he could be elevating himself and the rest of the people. If he's a good leader and he knows what he's doing and he's doing it the right way and he's not doing it for the wrong reasons, then he's Naso. He raises himself and he raises everybody else with him. And it's Nisia. It's a lushan of lifting them up. But if he's a guy who's just doing it for his own gaiva, he wants to make himself look good. He looks like a big, white, fluffy cloud. And everybody's like, wow, look at that guy. The guy looks really good and he looks really nice. But then all of a sudden, something happens and... like that, he's gone. Completely gone. Nobody knew that he was there. And everybody sits there and they're just like, what happened over here? Where is that guy? Like, does anybody remember that president? Does anybody have a clue what he did? That Jimmy Carter was a president for a little bit. Does anybody remember anything? Like, you just say he had 4 years of blank. I mean, if not for the fact that Bill Clinton did that stupid thing with whatever her name is, you would never remember that he was president. Nothing happened. We had like 8 years of where, like, war with President Bush and war with President Bush. And there was an 8 year in between, which is nothing. You know? It was just like, it was sort of like, you know, Saddam Hussein number one and Saddam Hussein number two. You know, like, to part one and part two. But otherwise, there's nothing there. It's just like, that's, if you're just doing it for yourself, then you get up there and you leave the world. You're gone. You're absolutely nothing. So that's dependent over here. That's what it depends on. Are you Naso? Are you doing it for yourself or are you doing it for other people? The same thing goes with the lashon of Hafgade. It's used by Balaturin. The Balaturin says in last week's Parsha, Haf Ato, Hafgade is Levium. You should count the Levium. Hafgade is said in two different places. Hafgade is Levium. Bring them up as being like an elevated nation. Count them and meet them into something. And also, Hafgade loved Resha. He decided to do rishus. He decided to do evil things. Those two things are the only two places in Tanakh where it says the word Hafgade. Why? What's the pshat? The pshat is, it's a Gemara in Sota, that in order to become a leader in Olam Hazeh, you have to make yourself a Rasha. Make yourself a Rasha in Shemayim. What does that mean? Since Balaturim, you have to think of yourself as if you're a Rasha. Think of yourself as garbage. If you think of yourself as being the highest person and you're doing everything for yourself, you're not going to be a leader. You're going to be somebody who's going to be trampled upon because eventually somebody's going to be better than you. There's no way you're the best at anything in the world more than anybody else there ever. They're always, just you hear it now on the radio. Michael Jordan, best ever? Or Dwayne Wade? Or Kobe Bryant? Or what's that other guy's name? LeBron James. And all these guys. Well, are they the best ever? What about... and then you go on. Nobody's ever the best ever because you always have the challenges. And no matter how much you say, oh, Michael Jordan was the best ever, that's because you live in Chicago. If you live in Cleveland, then LeBron James is the absolute best. If you live in LA, then you know that it's got to be Kobe Bryant's the best. You know, you just don't listen. You just don't realize. There's no way you're going to be on top. If you do it for yourself and you think you're the greatest, nothing will ever happen. But if you do and you think you're a Russia, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be mocha all your sins. You'll be a true leader. But it doesn't mean that you think of yourself as mamish a Russia. It's not true. It can't be. Because you can't think of yourself as mamish a Russia. Because then you can't be a real leader. How can you lead people if you're just like, you have a self-image problem? You can't do it. So it's got to be where you know your role in life. You know what you are and you know what you're supposed to be. But you also know to shut up at times. You know when you have to listen to other people. You know when certain people are saying the right thing and you are willing to say you're wrong. If you can't do that, then you're gone. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, there are times in the Torah where the Torah says he was wrong. Unlike any other leader of any other nation in any other religion. All of them are always right. Yashka, how could he do anything wrong? He's God. There's nothing wrong with him. Muhammad never did anything wrong. In fact, even his rights were the rightest of the right. But Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, he messed up. Yeah, he forgot this halacha. Yeah, he forgot that halacha. We bash him. We bash him. The end of the Torah is supposed to be this like high level, you know? Like this high thing, like he gets to the climax of the book and we're about to go into Eretz Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu dies. And they go into Eretz Yisrael without Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the worst ending ever. It's the worst ending you've ever heard. And as we said this before, but the definition of a leader is like that story with the Hasidic Rebbe, the guy who was sitting in the forest, and he had a wagon, and he's sitting there with all of his merchandise on the wagon, and he's supposed to bring it to a city to sell. All of his money is on this wagon, and he decides, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going to my Rebbe, and I'm going there for Shabbos right now. He leaves everything in the forest, and just leaves all his money, everything he has, leaves it there in the forest, and goes straight out to his Rebbe to go see his Rebbe. So he gets there right before Shabbos. He goes in, and he's like, Rebbe, I'm here. I'm here. I came here for you. I just came for Shabbos. And the Rebbe said, where were you? And he said, I was in the forest, I had all my stuff, and I decided I'm coming to you for Shabbos instead of going to do business, etc. So Rebbe's like, what are you, an idiot? Well, what are you going to do with all your stuff? He's like, I don't care, Rebbe, I just want to be with you for Shabbos. He's like, how stupid could one person be? He's calling some other chassidim. He's like, listen to this idiot. So he's telling him over, and they're like, ha-ha. Like, not knowing what to say. And he gets there that night, Friday night, he gives all the afternoon meal, he goes, and at the tish, he gives over a vort, and the word at the end, he says, and that's why this guy's an idiot. He starts bashing the guy. Then the next morning, after Shacharis, he gets up and he bashes the guy again. He says, this guy's the stupidest person I've ever met before in my life. Then after Musaf and everything, they get there, and again, he starts bashing him again. And everybody's sitting there, and at Shalashivis, he does it again. One chassid, finally, his son-in-law, gets up there and says, what's the Rebbe going to do with the Gemara? Hamalpin p'nei chavera barab v'mein lo chelek olam haba. Embarrass your friend, you have no chelek in olam haba. What are you going to do with that? So the Rebbe gets up and says, you have to understand something. There was a gzera out in Shemayim that this guy was going to lose all his money. He was going to be poor for the rest of his life. So I don't want him to be poor. So poorness is a sign of death. Another sign of death is being embarrassed. So I decided to embarrass him, get rid of the death decree, use the death decree on something else, and that way he won't lose all his money. He said, okay, but you're not going to get a chelik in Olam Haba. You're still going to lose your chelik in Olam Haba. He said, I'm willing to lose my entire Olam Haba for one Jew's Olam Haza. You hear the voice? For one Jew's Olam Haza, he's willing to lose everything he had. It doesn't make a difference. I just want something for everybody else. That's a leader. A leader is somebody who's willing to sacrifice. Moshe Rabbeinu is the quintessential leader. In front of God, goes up in front of him and just says, like, God, what are you doing? Lama harios lamazeh. Lamazeh. Like, what's going on there? He's yelling at God? What are you doing? How could you have done this to our people? Moshe, shut up. You're talking to God. This is not the best time. Like, of course, he's the quintessential leader. He knows. And he's willing to sacrifice everything, his entire life, for his people. That's what he's all about. Now, crazy nisim with the sota water. Crazy nisim. Number one, it's holy water. We don't have holy water. We don't believe in it. That's number one. Number two, we erase God's name. Who erases God's name? Why do we need to erase God's name? It's not necessary. I'm sure this could happen in some other way. Why do we need to erase God's name for this? Okay, he erases his name for shalom. You don't have to. You can get around it. You can do something else. Number three, she is bare-chested, and you tear off her hairpiece. She's got her hair showing, and she's naked. In the Beis HaMikdash. Since when is that allowed? And why do we allow that? How is that possible? What are we doing here? Why is that allowed? That's number three. Number four, she blows up. That's strange on and of itself. How in the world did she become into a human balloon just from drinking this water that has Hashem's name inside it? That's number four. Number five, Hama'arim. Hama'arim are the cursed ones. Is the gematria of Ramach times two. 248 times two. Why? Because not only she blows up, the Boel, whoever was with her, also blows up no matter where he is. It doesn't make a difference where he is. He also blows up at the exact same time. The Kliyakar says that. That's a Pella. Well, he's sitting there. He's just like, so, everything's... starts fattening, so all of a sudden just passes, blows up. Can you imagine if you're in the bar when he's there? Just, you don't want to be there. That's number four. By the way, they get that from the Pasuk Yudches over here. Pasuk Yudches in the beginning of the parsh, and I'm sorry, Pasuk Yudches in Parakeh, it says, as Michas Rom, Michas Knos, he. But he is spelled He Vav Aleph. So it's who and he together. It's who and he together, him and her. It's a very cute word, right? Either way, it's bitter, but it's only bitter to the people who sinned. But it's not bitter to anybody else. And there's nothing there to make it bitter. So if you sinned, it tastes bitter. If not, then it tastes like water with a little bit of paper, papyrus inside it. But other than that, there's nothing else inside it. Number seven, if a woman is zakai, listen to this Yalkut Ruvaini. If the woman is innocent and everything's fine, the water stays inside, it turns sweet, goes inside her bones and fattens up her bones, right? Fattens them up and makes them very healthy looking. Nowadays you say she needs a diet, but you used to fatten her up and make her look healthy and everything. She ends up becoming pregnant. The water goes down into the uber, beautifies the baby, beautifies it, and takes away any mum that it might have. It becomes this gorgeous baby like the people have never seen before in their lives. All from this water that went inside her stomach. Crazy, no? And what if she sins, says the Al-Ghruvani? Then the water goes inside her stomach and she can't blow up because the husband also did a sin. There's Gemara in Sota Mem Zayin Amud Beis that says if the husband did a sin, then they don't both blow up. Then nobody blows up or anything. So what happens then? The water goes inside her stomach and becomes a snake. And starts eating her from the inside out, and it destroys her eventually. Not the best thing in the world. We're not talking about very good situations, but how is that shaykh? Number 9 is the only place in the entire Torah where it mentions a ruach shtus. There's a in tista isha, kisista ishto, mentions the ruach shtus, that there's a crazy wind inside you that makes you do crazy things. Why over here over anywhere else? Why are we talking about that over here and we don't talk about that ruach shtus anywhere else in Torah? There are other places where you sin. Why don't we talk about that anywhere else? You know what a sota is? A sota is a person with too many titles. She could stay home and do the exact same thing that she's doing with the boel, with her husband. There's no difference between them, but she has too many titles. Now that's weird, because women don't have as many titles as men do. Men have these titles, but do women? No, women are very sane. They know what they're doing. Men are the idiots. Men are the crazy ones. Men are the stupid ones that go out and do other things. It's like women don't need to wear tefillin. They don't need to wear tzitzis. They don't need to daven. Technically, Rambam says they should. But either way, the fact is they don't need to. Why? Because they're holier than us. I keep getting shocked whenever I see my wife coming outside of the bathroom, not wearing a kippah and making a bracha. It's a shocker. Like, put on a kippah. Like, stop it. What are you doing? It's like a shocker. It still shocks me. After 5 years, it doesn't make any sense to me. You know what the pshat is? When she does the sin, it has to be the satan's involved. Chava never would have eaten from the Eitz HaDaas on her own, but the Nachash got her to do it. That's the satan that got her to go ahead and do it. It has to be the satan's involved. There's no other way. Thus is a ruach shtus. Specifically in this aver, it's got to be a ruach shtus, and that's why we erase Hashem's name. You know what Hashem's name does? Hashem's name has to go inside her and get rid of that ruach shtus. Get rid of that ruach shtus inside her. Destroy it. If she's innocent, then it only makes her healthier. Instead of tipach atzmosehen, as we've seen, tipach atzmosav is when your bones rot. This is bari atzmosav. You become healthier. And instead of being something bad, it goes into the kid and it doesn't beautify, because we know beauty does not mean physical beauty, in which the kid comes out and everybody's like, oh, he's gorgeous. Oh, it looks like a gorgeous baby. Of course not. It means that the kid's going to be a huge, huge Talmud Chacham. Chana wanted to do this. Chana wanted to go ahead and do this. She was willing to go ahead and become a sota in order for her to become innocent, and thus be able to drink the water and have this beautiful kid in order to have a Talmud Chacham as a kid. Because she knew that the Sota water had this power to be able to make everything good. Because it had a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name inside. Kadosh Baruch Hu's name is put inside, the Yud Kei Vav Kei is put inside in order to dissolve inside her and make her Kadosh. But if she's Tameh, then it becomes a snake. It becomes disgusting and bitter and she can't take it. Because Hashem's name can't take that tuma that's inside that woman. And says, okay, that's it. It becomes a snake. It becomes guilt and jealousy and everything bad that could be within that person and goes inside her and blows herself up from the inside. Not literally, like she starts blowing up. Not literally eating inside, but meaning she's eaten inside by the guilt and jealousy that she knows that she was with the man and she wasn't caught. And obviously the blowing up thing is the exact same thing. That's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu does. It's nothing more bitter than the Sata. Nothing more bitter, and that's referring to the water that goes inside her when she went ahead and did a sin. And that's because of Kadosh Baruch Hu's name inside there and she can't take that. Now, I'm not positive how it fits in with making her have the shirt come off and with the hat come off and how that had to do with the Azara. I know that the Sheikhus is that it has something to do with the Yitzhahara. You have to knock down the Yitzhahara. But how is it that other people can watch this? How is it that the Kohen can watch this? Akedei Kach, the Chassam Sofer asks, if she has her hair off, if she has, you know, her hair showing, and she's got part of her skin showing, how can you make a bracha? How can you say Hashem's name? And the Kohen has to make a shvua, has to make her swear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that she didn't do what she did. How can you say Hashem's name with a shvua if she is an erva? How is that possible? So it's part of the mitzvah. You got to say it's derech mitzvah so bekach, right? That's what he answers, derech mitzvah so bekach. And ad kreikach, that he says, by a bris milah, thus you could hold the erva. You could hold the aver of the child while making the bris milah. Even though you're touching the aver, you could say the bracha, because it's not a problem. Mitzvah so bekach, that's the way the mitzvah is done. That's the way the mitzvah is done. So what's the pshat? What is the problem with making a bracha? Is the problem with the bracha that the fact that you're doing it in front of an erva, and the erva is also because of hirhurim and bad thoughts and everything like that? Or is the problem that you can't make a bracha because it's a genai? It's the bracha. It looks bad at the bracha. That the bracha is being made while you're doing something disgusting. So which one is it? Is it that it's a genai, or is that it's an erva? Which one is it? So it can't be it's an erva. Because if it's an erva, then how can we matur in the base of Mikdash? It's still erva, so it must be it's genai. It's got to be it's Gannai. So it looks bad, right? So question, if it's a problem in Gannai, it's disgusting, right? So when you're going down to the mikveh, right? Going down to the mikveh, can't make a bracha while you're naked. But why not? Mitzvah sabakach. It's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be nude. So what's the problem with making a bracha of mitzvah sabakach? It should be just like over here with the woman, with the sota woman. It should be the exact same thing regarding the case of the milah. You should be able to make a bracha. So what's the difference? Got anything? Somebody came up with an answer tonight. I think it's a great answer. Look at this answer. The mitzvah is to be in the water naked. The mitzvah is not to be naked before you go into the water. So mitzvah sabakach only applies when you're in the water, but not while you're going down there. That's a hachana, it's a preparation, but that's not the mitzvah. By the other cases, you're doing the mitzvah. You're making her tear, or whatever it is, that is the mitzvah. That is the mitzvah sabakach. Or by the aver, holding the aver of the bris milah is the mitzvah sabakach. But over here, the mitzvah sabakach is not standing outside the mikvah making a bracha. The mitzvah is to go into the water. So you can make the bracha when you're in the water, because then you're already covered. That's already mutter. I think that was a great answer. I was very impressed. I said bravo. I said that was very bravo. Anyway, there is a little bit of a missing here, but we're going to finish this up eventually. Berachas Kohanim. Oh my gosh. Whew. I would love to go into Berachas Kohanim one day and just figure out what the heck is going on. Berachas Kohanim is the greatest bracha that we've ever had. The Yalkut Ruvaini says, this is Yalkut Ruvaini, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, all Peros lost their tongue. There was no taste left in Peros. Apples tasted like nothing. Esrogim became bitter. All these fruits that we had, they all lost their taste completely, and they had shells on top that you couldn't eat the shells. Why not eat shells? Why were fruits made without shells? Eat the shells, like an apple. Why not? The fact is, we lost all the time for all the pears. See, Yaakov Ruvaini says, as soon as the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we lost everything. Also, we have a ton of other things. A klala comes out every single day. The towel, the dew that we have in the morning, is no longer shel bracha. It's no longer a bracha towel that makes all the grasses grow. Look at my lawn in my front yard. There's no grass there. It's all happening because the towel isn't la bracha anymore. And everything. And kel zoim b'chol yom. God is angry every single day. So what zchus do we survive today? What zchus do we have to be able to live today? Is it because of Berachas Kohanim? It's a statement from the Yalkut Ruvaini, a very high statement, because of Berachas Kohanim. Why? What's the big deal? It's not that big of a deal, is it? Because God wants to give us a bracha every single day. But he can't. Because Midas HaDin says to him, heck no, God. There's no way you can give them a bracha. They don't deserve it. But God really wants to give us a bracha. So instead, you know why he gives us a bracha? He tells the Kohanim to give us a bracha instead. And he goes through the Kohanim. Metitz min acharakim, as they go like that, and they have the five windows through their fingers. Metitz min acharakim, the guy who peeks through the windows is God looking down from Shemayim, Ki'ilu. Looking through a window and being like, how's everything going down there? Just looking through. And he's the one that goes through the Kohanim's hands. He's the Metzitz Min HaCharakim that goes through and gives off the bracha to Klal Yisrael. Can't be direct, because Midas HaDin would get involved, but indirectly you can still give it. And the Kohanim know when Jews deserve it or not. If their hands are very heavy and they can't lift it up, and you'll see it once in a while, although you shouldn't look, where their hands are like leaning down a little bit and they're going down, it's just like they're so tired, they don't want to do this, whatever it is. If they're leaning down and they're going like that, well, yeah, that means that they were sitting. They did something wrong. But if their hands are straight up and nothing's wrong, they're able to stand there and they're able to stay like this, then you know that everything's good. It was done by bracha. That everything was good and everything was fine and there were no problems with it whatsoever. So it depends on how the Kohanim's hands were standing. If they were able to stay that way, everything was good. You know what the bracha was? The bracha was Ko Sivorchu es B'nei Yisrael. This is how you should bless B'nei Yisrael. You ever seen the word Ko before? Little hint. Ko is mentioned throughout the entire Torah. Every nevuah throughout all of Nach is known as Ko Amar Hashem. This is what Hashem says. Ko segado bimcha. This is how you should raise your kids. Ko, it's all mentioned all over the place with Avraham Avinu. Ko yezarecha. This is what your kids are going to be. When we do something wrong, it's ayeka. Where are you? Where's the ko? Eicha. Eicha that we say on Tisha B'Av is Eicha is a ko. Where is the ko of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because it's the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's supposed to be bracha, beis resh, and ko. Everything that has ko inside it is a huge, huge thing. It's the bracha straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the pure goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that comes straight into the world. Ko Sivorcho is B'nei Yisrael, bringing about everything that needs to be done in the world for it to be done perfectly. It's exactly what it is, and there's a tremendous amount within that. That's supposed to be the entire thing over here. Oh, there's so much about that. Rabbi Schechter's really into that. He can tell you tons of Ramosha. What's his name? Moshe, I forgot. Either way. And he can tell you tons of stuff in the Munasi Techo about it. But the last thing we're going to go through is Amor Lahem. The Panach Raza, this is Amor Lahem. You should say to them, Almor, the same gematria as Zemer. Zemer, the Kohanim, they sing, right? Why is that mutter? Why is that mutter? What are they doing? What, so we get to say the little, you know, the little like paragraphs about our dreams and like go through and be able to say it really quickly and try and scanning the names. Is that the real reason? What is it? Dalin Yud Kuf Resh Nun Vav Samach Aleph. Oh, that's a crazy one, by the way. But either way, like to be able to look through and to go through all these, what's the point? Why in the world are we going ahead and doing all this? What is being done over here? Why are we doing this? Such a crazy answer. He says the whole shot is supposed to be, you know how like people are Mishnayos, they pick up a Mishnayos and they learn a Mishnayos and they say like, you know they have like a tune to it. What's the point? Why do we have a tune for Mishnayos? Say memorization. It's the only way to keep it inside you and for you to concentrate on what you're doing. For you to concentrate and sit there and know what you're doing at all times. It's the only way for you to be able to get it. If you don't sit there and you don't pay attention to it whatsoever, you won't be able to get it. You won't pay attention. You won't get anything out of it. So for that, we're saying by Birchas Kohanim, in order for the Kohanim to get what they're saying, in order to concentrate a little bit harder for the bracha to apply in a better way, they sit there and they sing it. They know they have to sing now, you know, and they sing and they think, what am I making the bracha for? And it helps them concentrate and brings it out in the best way possible, in the perfect way possible. Crazy word, no? That's Amor, as in Zemer Lahem. That's the Zemer Lahem. The singing should be in there. That's what the Panachrasa says. The last thing we're going to go into is Av Torah. Best vort of all time. There has never been a better vort. I'm sure there has been, but this is not, it's unbelievable. The Haftorah goes into Shimshon. Shimshon is born, right? Manoach and Ishis Manoach Tzalponis, I believe her name is. All right, so we have all these people. This is, Shimshon is born. So the Malach says something to Ishis Manoach. He says, "Hu yachel lahoshia." He will start to save all of Bnei Yisrael. Where? When? When did that happen? Tell me. When did Shimshon save Klal Yisrael? What? When? After he was dead? He destroyed a lot of Pelishtim when he was in the Colosseum. That's true. But it never saved Klal Yisrael. There was no point where Bnei Yisrael was about to die, and Shimshon came along and said, "I'll take care of you," and you know, knocked them all out like bowling pins or whatever. There's no time that he did that. So it's Huyachel Oshia. When did he start to save Klal Yisrael that we have to say, "Oh, this is Huyachel Oshia"? When is that? Number two, he said right after that, when Yaakov Avinu gives the bracha to Dan, he says the words Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem. For your salvation, I hope, O God. Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem. What is the point of Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem? Why does he say such a thing? What's the point behind all that? Like, what does that mean? He sees that the Nachash is supposed to bite the rider, and the rider falls backward, and he says Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem. What does that mean? And Yeshua is referring to David HaMelech. Yeshua Matzmiach Karen Yeshua, referring to David HaMelech. So what does this have to do with David HaMelech? What does Shimshon have to do with David HaMelech? Here we go. There's a midrash, or a gemara, I should say, a gemara in Shabbos, I believe, where there's something called an ayala. An ayala is a deer that has a very, very narrow rachma, very narrow womb. In order for it to have a kid, it needs to, it's impossible. It's just too narrow for the kid to come out. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is he sets up a snake. A snake comes, bites it around the womb, poisons it, and thus numbs out that area, and thus it's able to give birth. It's sort of like, you know, a numbing shot that numbs it completely, and thus she is able to give birth without feeling any pain. So the baby's able to come out and nothing, there's no problem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure there's that nachash there. The ayala is Malchus Beis David. In order for the kids to come out and everything to be good, it needs to be that they get bitten by the nachash. It has to look like something bad. Thus you have Yehuda and Tamar, thus you have the whole thing with Lot and his two daughters, thus you have all the crazy things that have happened with Rus and everything else, all the crazy things that you can hear of. All those things happen based on, because what happened over here with all these things that, you know, would bring about Mashiach. Machlon and Kilion. What in the world were they doing? They were going to bring about the Mashiach. Now, Machlon went ahead and married Rus. Kilion married Orpah. Orpah is spelled Ayin Resh Pei Hey. We know that Orpah never survived. She didn't go all the way. Orpah wasn't able to go all the way. She went all the way close. She tried to become a Gioris and then stopped. Went all the way back. Went right back to her part. Not only that, but she lost everything and became more tummy. She was with 100 men and a dog that night. 100 men and a dog that night to be able to make her as tummy as she possibly was. She lost the shame of Adonoi, the Adnus within her. And Adnus, the gematria of Aleph Dal Dalet Nun Yud is the gematria of? Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is 65 altogether. 70, which is the Ayin of Orpah, minus 65 is what? 5, which is Hey. Hey becomes Horpa. She became, instead of Orpa, Horpa. You ever heard of Horpa before? Horpa is mentioned elsewhere in Tanakh. You know who she is? The mother of Golias. You know she became the mother of Golias? Because later on, Boaz went ahead and married Ruth and brought about David HaMelech into Klal Yisrael. Shimshon saw there were going to be problems. When he was caught and brought to jail, there's a Gemara that says that Shimshon wasn't by himself. Woman came to him in order to give birth, to have kids that were going to be strong as anything, because they knew that Shimshon had this strength within him. They went to him, they were with him literally, in order to have kids that were going to be as strong as Shimshon was. So one of those women was Horpah. Horpah went together with Shimshon, gave birth to a massive giant by the name of Golias. Golias, who was later on the person who challenged Bnei Yisrael, and David HaMelech came about, and everybody knew who David HaMelech was because he was the one who killed Golias. Thus, because Shimshon was caught, everything that Shimshon had done with Orpah and everything that had happened there, that was Hu Yachel LeHoshia. He starts to bring about the Hoshia, even though it looks terrible. It's the Nachash that is bitten in the back. Ke'ilu, Shimshon, is bitten in the back. The Nachash comes along and bites the rider. We always think that the Nachash is referring to Shimon and biting the Pelishtim. It's the opposite. The Rochev, the rider, is Shimshon. The Nachash is Orpah. Orpah comes along and bites Shimshon, takes down Shimshon, and it looks really bad. But from that comes the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael, because Golias comes, David HaMelech kills Golias, and thus David HaMelech gets a great name in Klal Yisrael. For that, Yaakov Avinu said, first of all, the Malach said, Hu Yachel Hoshia. He's going to be the beginning of the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael to bring about David HaMelech. And what ended up happening is Lishuaska Kivisi Hashem. Yaakov Avinu saw all this and immediately said, Lishuaska Kivisi Hashem, I see the Yeshua that you're bringing about. How crazy is the Yeshua that you bring about, O HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Crazy things are happening over here, and that's what it's referring to. Crazy, no? I happen to love that vort. We're going to end with that.